Welcome after the break. Let me introduce you, Mr. Daniel Mende. And the topic of his lecture is Attacking Cisco Enterprise VLANs. We can start.
So, hello everybody. The next hour we will talk a bit about the enterprise WLAN solutions from some big vendors. We mainly focused on Cisco because it's our, let's say, daily business to work with the network gear. We got a lot of that devices throwing around. Okay, so first of all, my name is Daniel Mende. I was introduced already. I'm coming from a German-based network IT security company called ERNW. Okay, let's get over the marketing blip. We also got a blog and the conference. You can look that up. This talk was mainly built up by a group of people who should be mentioned here. I'm standing alone because no one of my colleagues was able to come over and help me with the talk. So there is NRI, which was the team leader, which intentionally got up with that topic. There is me, myself, did a lot of the coding stuff and wrote the tool for attacking and proof of concept. There is Simon. Simon did most of the pen testing stuff. And last but not least, there is Oliver. Oliver wrote his thesis over that topic, and so we share some of the work. Okay, let's have a look at the agenda. First of all, my short introduction, which is already done. Afterwards, we will have a look at the used technologies and the common attack paths within these enterprise VLAN solutions. Afterwards, we will have a deeper look into two generation of the Cisco WLAN solutions. The first one is the S1 world, the second one the CUWN world. And my voice is losing, so I hope you can understand me. Afterwards, we'll have some conclusions, and let's see. Okay, first of all, the background of this talk. We had the opportunity to do some sponsored research stuff on all the Cisco equipment. So Cisco actually helped us out with some hardware boxes. And yeah, while getting in touch with these technologies, we had a bit the feeling, yeah, it smells. Something is wrong. It's not that high secure as it's sold. So the message of the talk is not to blame Cisco in the first point, but to let's say you can take all the context of this talk and give it to some other vendor. It's not only Cisco who is vulnerable. There are some other big vendors too. It's not only about WLAN solutions. It's also about all other types of big enterprise solutions like the VoIP, the storage, or so on. Okay, most of these technologies and solutions are heavily built on SAND. Okay, it's not only Cisco. Also, you know, all these enterprise solutions are really big beasts, and they are put together from a lot of software, from a lot of components, and all these libraries, operating systems, protocols, all that stuff has to work together in a smooth way, and putting all this together in implementation work isn't that easy as it may look like. But also, there is the big challenge to harden all that stuff, to patch all the libraries, to harden the operating systems, to securely design the protocols, and so on. And as you all know, in a security context, there's always the, let's say, poor admin who is thankful if that solution is in place and working and say, okay, it's Friday in the evening, it's working, now go home and harden later. Okay, we did most of the research stuff on proprietary solutions, which in the first place was Cisco, and it wasn't that easy to get into the topic because all the technologies are not well documented. If they are, they're not open RFCs, but you have to read patents, and these patents sometimes are not correct, so there is something in the patent and something else on the wire. And of course, because all that technology is patented, you have some legal boundaries. When performing research, you're not allowed to spread your knowledge that wide that you hit the patent. Okay, just to get a big picture of all that enterprise WLAN stuff, there are three points in the big network picture which are important. The first point, of course, is the access point, which builds the physical conversion from the VLAN interface to the wired interface. Then there are the controllers. These controllers may manage the access points or may just sit there and be a central management and logging solution. It depends a bit on the generation which is in use, if the access points themselves get configured or are stupid and configured by the centralized controller. And of course, you get somewhere in the backend some authentication infrastructure to authenticate your mobile nodes, to authenticate all the clients. And yeah, these three components are the base part of the WLAN enterprise stuff. So we had a look at all three, and we have some findings at, let's say, all three. But we will see. Okay, then we have to list up all the generations that are out at customer size. On Cisco perspective, there are three generations, which is the first, the so-called SWAN, or Structured Wireless Aware Networks. This one's broken. Then there is the second generation, which first based up on managed access points and some proprietary protocol called LVAP. We didn't have a look at the second generation, but we also had a look at the third generation, which is the current one, and so-called Cisco United Wireless Networks, or CUWN, and it uses an let's say open protocol called CAPVAP. Okay, let's have a look at the attack paths. So there is the first attack path is attacks against traffic in transit. So if you want to read all that traffic on the wireless interface or from your mobile nodes or stuff like that, then there are attacks against the crypto material. Which means, okay, let's get into the authentication of the mobile nodes. Let's get all that key material and maybe decrypt the traffic later. So it's somehow related to the first attack path. And then there is, of course, the third attack path, which are attacks against components, which are not only physical attacks, but also attacks against management interfaces. And we will see all these management interfaces listed here. Are somehow vulnerable. Okay, so this again is a big picture. It's the first generation. This picture is stolen from Cisco side. And we also see our three main components. We got the access points, we got some centralized controller, and we got an authentication server. There is some speciality on the first generation, which means there is no dedicated device to be the wireless LAN controller, but there is one access point with a special role in the whole network, the so-called WDS, the wireless domain service. It's a wireless domain service master in this case, but the compound of all the access points is called wireless domain service. Okay. So what's special on that technology? There is a centralized solution engine, which was up here in the big picture, but this one does not directly communicate with the access points, but only with the WDS master. And this centralized device is only for a centralized configuration. You can't directly manage all your access points with this device. It's only for set up one single main configuration, roll it out to the access points, and get all the logging stuff in one place. Then there is the wireless domain master, which got a special role. This one communicates with all the other access points autonomously in the wireless domain service, and this communication is done via a proprietary protocol called WLCCP. We had a look at that proprietary protocol because there is some strange stuff going on in the wireless domain service, some credential caching and so on. So we took a look at the protocol where all the authentication data and cryptographic material is going through, and this protocol is mainly described in two US patents, which are these two with very fantastic names. Okay, this protocol provides functionality for the centralized management and authentication. Also, there are some funky features like radio frequency measurement, if you really want to use that. This protocol exists in two different flavors. The first one is Ethernet-based, so it's just a plain layer 3 protocol in this case, and is mainly used for discovering of other access points. Then there is the UDP-based version of that protocol, which did all the authentication stuff, all that funky feature, and this protocol also may appear between different wireless domain services. Okay, there is a basic Wireshark parser for this protocol available, but it just covers the basic header and no funky type length value messages. So we had to do quite a big work on reverse engineering that protocol. Okay, to get a bit more in the internals of this protocol, there are two different types of authentication used. The first one is the so-called infrastructure authentication, which authenticates all the access points between themselves. And the second authentication is the client authentication, which is used to authenticate the wireless node to all that big solution construct. Okay. The first, the infrastructure authentication, is based on Leap. Okay, maybe there rings some bell. Okay, Leap, a few years ago, is vulnerable to, some kind of dictionary attack. But, there is another key in place. They don't rely only on the Leap authentication, but they derive some other key from that first Leap key. It's some really strange, but you will see a few slides which describe that. Okay, now one can think, why did Cisco do such a big stuff, implementing a new protocol, rolling out some authentication between the devices? Why do they do this? It's in the first point, they invented a new feature which is called the fast handoff, and which should avoid the case in which your wireless connection drops while you're roaming. If you roam in a classical WLAN, your client node has to do a full re-authentication every time you connect to a new access point. This authentication has to go back to your authentication server and takes, in some cases, about, let's say 500 milliseconds. And now think of your wireless voice phone While you're walking through your company and roaming through some access points, every time you roam, your phone call drops. So that's really bad, isn't it? That's why Cisco did such a big stuff. They also implemented an own proprietary key management type. And just to do that, just to handle that situation and to get the fast handoff feature. I promised you we got a bit deeper in the all that key derivation stuff. So as I mentioned before, there is the so-called CTK, the context transfer key. This key is simply SHA-1 PRF, pseudo-random function, which gets together from first the LEAP network session key, which came from the infrastructure authentication. Then there is some crazy string going in, which says, okay, this is the link context transfer key derivation algorithm, and we use that key only for that purpose, so all the access points and all the master devices know that funky string and can derive the same key. Also, there are some nonces and some node IDs coming in, and also a key sequence counter to avoid replay attacks. Looks quite good, but there are two big points where we said, okay, wait a moment. There is something wrong. First of all, there is election. All the access points elect a master. And the second point is, okay, there is the access point authentication, which is based on LEAP. First, key master election. Do you remember another protocol based upon a selection and failed? Oh, okay, right. You remember HSRP, which is for high availability of an IP address. It's also based on a master election. And yeah, if you're in the network, you can easily take over the IP address just getting elected to the master. So in this case, it's actually the same. If someone came up and said, okay, hey, access points, I'm your new master device now. I got the higher priority, and I'm supposed to be the master. So what will happen? Okay, right. In the first case, if your device is stupid, you will have a denial of service, a black hole. All that WLCCP data goes into nowhere. And in the second case, you can have some kind of traffic redirection. If you get actually into the WLCCP communication stuff, you can even hook after that infrastructure authentication. Okay, so I ask you, is this a clever protocol design? I don't know. We will see. Okay, the second point was the inter-access point authentication. So it is actually a LEAP. It's encapsulated in WLCCP, so you have to get through all that proprietary protocol stuff. And okay, LEAP for itself has a debatable security side, and there are some practical attacks against LEAP, which are called by name. It's not a brute force attack, but a word list attack. So you can actually, from the LEAP algorithm, from the LEAP hash, you can take the last two bytes and get them reversed into clear text. And with these two last bytes, you easily can hook after your word list. Cisco was aware of that. They saw, okay, LEAP is not that really high secure protocol. Let's just generate another key. But what they forget was, okay, your new key is just based on your LEAP authentication key. And if I hook after your LEAP key, I can also do the derivation and get the CTK. So again, is this clever protocol design? I'm not really sure. Okay. So after getting through all these attacks theoretical, we said, okay, let's get on the iron. Let's do some practical attacks. What would one of these practical attacks look like? So the first important step is you have to get access to the wired access point backbone network. This can be really easy. We have seen some companies who used all that enterprise WLAN stuff within a big flat layer 2 network with all the other workstations and some file servers. So there you can just plug in anywhere and you're in the right segment. But otherwise, if it's not that case, you can just walk over there, put out the access point, plug your notebook in, and you're also in the wired access point backbone. So the second step is to identify all the WLCCP-speaking devices. This could be done via a short NMAP scan. You cannot see the NMAP scan, but you will see it in the slides afterwards. There is just an NMAP scan for UDP 2887. This is the WLCCP port. If it's open, you get a WLCCP-speaking device. Otherwise, you may not. But it's also not that hard, because you remember the layer 2-based version of WLCCP, which is just used for discovering. So all your access points will throw out all the time layer 2 packets which say, okay, hey, I'm speaking WLCCP. So just listen to the cable and you will find the right devices. The next step in such an attack would be to sniff the inter-access point authentication. That could be not that easy, because you have to wait for an authentication happening, and maybe all the access points are authenticated, but you remember the master election? Just get the elected master for, let's say, 30 seconds, afterward drop your master role, and the authentication will happen again. All the access points will authenticate against each other. Everything you have to do is just app spoofing, or in some environments you won't even need an app spoof, just listen to the cable. So once you get all the necessary packages from the Leap authentication, you need to crack the Leap password. So that's the only point where some clever admin could get into your way. If there is a really, really strong weak Leap password for infrastructure authentication in use, you may stop at this point. But to be honest, we've audited some of these enterprise solutions in live environments, and I don't know, I think in 90% there was the Leap password Cisco. So it's not that hard. Okay, afterwards, after you crack the Leap and get the network session key from that Leap authentication, what you need to do is just to wait till the mobile node roams. So once a mobile node roams, there will be two extra packages on the cable, which is the one asking the wireless domain service master, hey, I got this device roaming to me, please give me the pairwise master key. This pairwise master key is cached on the wireless domain service master and will be delivered to the asking access point. And once you get these, it's encrypted in WLCCP, but you also you got all the keys you need to decrypt the traffic. So you just need to wait till mobile device roams. Afterward, you got the pairwise master key and decrypt all the wireless network traffic. Okay, enough theory. Let's have a demo. I wrote a little tool for this presentation. You can see this, good. So I've just started listening on my local network. I built some kind of layer 2 loop just to get a link. And now we'll inject some WLCCP packages. I've sniffed them from our test environment and used them just for demo purposes. So first you will see all the access points appearing up here, which means, okay, there have been some layer 2 packages from these devices. They are WLCCP speaker. So when these access points discovered each other, they will elect one node as the master. In this case, the node got a manually configured priority, which is the highest priority you can configure, 254, and get elected as master. But there is one point. You can maximally configure 254. How wide is a byte? I think I could put 255 in a byte. Can't I? So I'm always able to get master. Oh, that's fine. Okay, we got that election button down here. Just enter an IP address and a MAC address and push the button, and afterwards you're the elected WLCCP master. Okay, once all these access points appear, they will authenticate each other. So the tool already sniffed the authentication packages. This is the leap authentication. And first you will see, okay, there is the username in clear text. Again, clever protocol design? I'm not sure. Once you get the infrastructure authentication, you need to crack the leap in this. Okay, just open the Word file, click on crack leap. It's a really short Word file, I'm honest. But it's only for demo purposes, and we got a high secure password up here. So from this leap authentication, the tool now derives the so-called network session key and the context transfer key. These two keys are used to encrypt and authenticate all data which is handled between the access points via WLCCP. So, okay, in this step, you got all you need to fuck up the whole technology. Everything you need to do is now is wait for some mobile clients. So you see here appears another authentication. This time it's a mobile node. In our demo setup, these mobile nodes use also a leap authentication. So I could crack the leap here, but it don't have to be leap authentication. It could be peep or something else as well. So let's assume we had not leap here, just to go on and see how the mobile client appears up here. And this client is now sitting in the network and sending some traffic, but I can't do anything with the traffic because I don't know the pairwise master key. It's still encrypted. So, but once this device roams, it will ask the WDS master for the pairwise master key, and we're sitting right in the middle of the communication, sniffing all that traffic, and so once the mobile device roams, we also got the pairwise master key here and could now decrypt all the wireless network traffic. Okay, so that one was, I will not say quite easy because it's a proprietary protocol. It was some work to get into the right parsing of that protocol data to see how all that keys derived from each other, where is which hash, and so on. But in the end, it's all based on a weak leap authentication. And if this leap authentication falls, your whole enterprise WLAN solution falls as well. Okay, so much for the first generation. Okay, there's one more. We got that centralized management called the WLSE, this management station. And there is a Cisco advisory from 2004, which says, okay, there is a default username on this device. It's active. It got a default password. And this username has complete control of the device. This user cannot be disabled. There is no workaround. Okay, great. Thanks, Cisco. Okay, but that first generation is kind of broken. For completeness sake, we did all that web application pen testing stuff against the management device. And as you can see, there are a lot of classical web attacks possible. So you have a directory listing, you got an XSS, and all that stuff. But we won't disclose any details here because we are still in responsible disclosure with Cisco, and we'll see if the will patch be up or not. So after breaking the first generation, we moved on to the third generation, and it was absolutely it's even a bigger picture than the one before. So, but also in this picture, you got three main components, which are the access points down here. You got the centralized management device, which is the wireless LAN controller, and you got some authentication in the back end. So here's the authentication, we got the controller, and we got the access points in front. We had a look at all the protocols that are in play. There is one main protocol, which is CUPWAP. This protocol is an RFC-defined protocol. It got, let's say, secure authentication via TLS. It actually uses DTLS because it's UDP-based. And they also did certificate-based authentication. So that's really hard to open. In the protocol itself, all security-relevant data is encrypted and authenticated. So it doesn't look that good on the protocol side for the third generation. We digged into CUPWAP as well. It's mainly defined in the both RFCs up here, and it also did some additions to other protocols. In this case, it's DHCP and 802.11. So there are some information distributed via DHCP and so on. While reading the RFC, I get through this passage. It says, okay, when CUPWAP is run over IPv4, the UDP checksum field in CUPWAP packets must be set to 0. Why that? UDP is reliable transport anyway, isn't it? So why use the checksum? It's just some strange Cisco RFC writing. Or is there a plan? We haven't figured out yet, but it looks strange. So after taking a first look in this technology, we also set up some attack paths. So the first one could be to have a look at the crypto code. Where is that TLS code from? Is it own code? Is it open source code? Is it patched? Are there known vulnerabilities? And so on. Afterwards, one could have a look at the certificates, because they are used for authentication and for strong authentication. So what's about the certificate path? Who trusts who? Why trust their CA, for example, so on. We had a look at the implementation, or we were searching for the implementation, and just grabbed through all the strings in one of the access point images and found this. There is the string OpenSSL from April 2003 in. Okay, 2003, a long time ago. I don't know. TLS got it vulnerabilities? We talked to Cisco and said, could you please give us that code? We want to see which authentication is used, which implementation, so on, but Cisco said, no, it's no OpenSSL. We backported this back in 2003. So this must also be where the strings came from, and all that stuff was reviewed by legal. So, okay, we don't get the code, we don't get the implementation, but there may be some bugs as well. After getting on the implementation, we had a look on the certificates. All that certificates are signed by the Cisco's manufacturing CA and are enrolled via production. So first, that is a really good thing. We would like if all vendors enroll certificates on production, because this adds some big security, because you got certificate-based authentication against some weak default Cisco password. But there is an opposite side of all that certificate enrollment via manufacturing. It is that all MIC signed certificates are trusted by default. So every Cisco access point is trusted by default. So one could just walk in and plug out an access point, put in another management station, and all the access points will rely on that certificate on the management station. So maybe you can deploy yourself wireless LAN controller and overtake the wireless network. Of course, a motivated administrator could add his own certificate chain, but that just adds more complexity to the whole construct. So we haven't seen an environment which enrolls own certificates on the access point. I don't know if I will see. Okay, we also had a look on the management interfaces in the CUWN world. And yeah, okay, they speak SNMP and HTTP. SNMP is an old friend. As you know, there are traditional known community strings, let's say passwords. But SNMP is heavily used in the communication of that third generation. So, okay, of course, you should change these both public-private key pair. But you remember the lazy admin who says, yeah, it's running, I'm fine. In a lot of environments, there are still the all default passwords. And while talking about management, we had a look at our setup, our lab setup, and the first thing which directly jumps into the eye was syslog. Syslog against the broadcast address. Hey, it's okay that you do logging, but don't log to the broadcast address. What the hell? I mean, what's going on? What did they guys smoke? Okay, I don't know. Maybe I will not find out, but that also kind of stinks. Then we had a look on the SNMP MIPS. So if you had SNMP access, what could one do? There is a MIP which is get all the release numbers and the version strings. Think about the show version on Cisco devices. Then there is a MIP which identifies all the associated access points. You also can get the IP configuration of all the access point, and if you had write access, you could as well change the IP configuration of the access points. There was some other strange MIP names with strange names. So we had another look on that. There were, I don't know what this MIP stands for, but it heavily looks like syslog. So there is, again, syslog in SNMP. We had one MIP. This is the Cisco MIP Navigator. It says the agent SNMP community name. Oh, that's great. You can get the community strings via SNMP. So if you got read access, read out the right community. Oh, that would really be great. But we tried that, and it was somehow restricted. We can't get out the right community. But there was some other things. which were the some usernames in there. So MIP says, okay, local admins, looks good. But unfortunately, all the passwords was obfuscated, so there were only 6 stars instead of the real password, so you can't read out the password. But hey, why do you want to read out the password if you can just add another user? So if you get write access on one of these wireless LAN controller, you can just add another local administrative user who has fully access to the web interface, who has full telnet access, and so on. We also put that in our SMP tool if one's interested. Okay, talking about the web interface, we also did some web application pen testing against this web interface, and as you see, this is just an XSS demo, so there are XSS. There should be a mod security on the Apache server, but hey, be honest, with such a default filter string, you don't need a mod security. I don't need a script tag to do cross-site scripting. Okay. So we got another demo here. Let's see. The VLAN just dropped. Oh. Because this is a remote demo, I have to rely on the uplink. Let's see, get a new IP address. Refresh all the tunnels. And it's good. Okay. This box is one of the wireless LAN controller. So it's version 6. It was the current version at the time we did all the testing. It's also an unreleased version from Cisco. I don't know if it's released yet, but they want to roll out the patches first. So we reported all that findings, and Cisco want to patch the software for the final release. Okay, but so this is the controller. I got a second device here, which is just our attack machine. And I will now just connect up to the administrative web interface. And come on. There it is. Okay, and log in. So once I'm logged in, I will get a burp in the HTTP connection and catch one of these requests, and we'll just replace it with a request that got a lot of bees. So when I forward this request, look at your watch, it will take about 1 minute. And after that minute, the WLAN controller crashes. So you will see a core dump on this device, and there will be some Bs in the instruction pointer. So it's a classical buffer overflow. Okay. You have to understand, it's not that it's brand new technology or something. It takes a while. It's not that fast. So, there we are. Crash dump, some stack traces, and some SHA-1 functions, and afterward a reboot. So this device also got some strange input validation. Actually, it was a MAC address field. Just throwing in 1,000 Bs, the device crashed. That's good coding. Okay, that brings me to my conclusion slide. First of all these wireless LAN solutions are really complex beasts. So there are a lot of technologies involved, different operating systems, different protocols, and it's really not easy to get all this stuff together in a secure configuration. So our tip is, when deploying such complex beasts, use common sense. Use separation, isolation, strong authentication, no default passwords, all that stuff. Make it as hard as possible. Don't rely on the technology which says, okay, we are secure. And also, all these problems are not special for vendor Cisco or for WLAN solutions, but you can get from these theories to every vendor, to every big enterprise solution. They're all complex beasts. They're all thrown together from a lot of pieces, and they're all hard to harden. Okay. In the end, I got a shameless announcement. The tool you saw before is a tool called Loki, will be released this summer. Just think about layer 3 as in ya. I'm not sure if the WLCCP module will be in, because we're still in discussion with Cisco. So I'm not sure if we're allowed to release the code, but other parts of the tool will be released. Okay, so there's never time enough. Thanks for yours. Are there any questions? Yes.
And so what about Aruba?
So
security, I mean.
Yeah. We got a pen test on an Aruba solution, but the pen test was from the wireless interface, so we don't get access to the backbone network. But there was a denial of service while sending and crafted 802.1x packet, which just blow up the whole setup and your master device reboots. Okay. Any other question?
About the buffer overflow.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be possible to execute any code to change the configuration of the device, or?
If you're FX and got an iOS shellcode, maybe. No, we don't got the PowerPC iOS shellcode, and we don't investigate in this direction. We found that buffer overflow by accident. We just scanned the web interface and saw, oh, what's that, the device reboot? What did you do? Do it again. Okay, any more questions? Huh? Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mende. And I don't know how many times I've said this so far, but there will be another 10-minute break. Yeah, the last one.